Trinadapi suniche na, sarariva sahishnuna, amanina manadena, kirtaniya sadahari. Haryanama, 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 aiva kevalam, klo nastyeva, 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 gatir anyata. Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadadhar, Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna Book, Chapter 87, Prayers by the Personified Vedas, Session Number 5. The personified Vedas continued. Dear Lord, when a person is able to purify the mind, senses, and intelligence by engaging in devotional service in full Krishna consciousness, one's mind becomes his or her friend. Otherwise, one's mind is always his or her enemy. When the mind is engaged in the devotional service of the Lord, it becomes the intimate friend of the living entity, because then the mind can think of the Supreme Lord always. Your Lordship is eternally dear to the living entity, so when the mind is engaged in thought of you, one immediately feels the great satisfaction for which he or she has been hankering life after life. When one's mind is thus fixed on the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one does not take to any kind of inferior worship or inferior process of self-realization. By attempting to worship a demigod, or by taking to any other process of self-realization, the living entity becomes a victim of the cycle of birth and death, and no one can estimate how much the living entity is degraded by entering abominable species of life, such as cats and dogs. Sri Narottama Dasa Thakur has sung that persons who do not take to devotional service of the Lord, but who are attracted to the process of philosophical speculation and fruitive activities, simply drink the poisonous results of such actions. Such persons eat all kinds of obnoxious things, such as meat, and take pleasure in alcohol and other intoxicants. And after death, they are forced to take birth in lower species of life. Materialistic persons generally worship the transient material body and forget the welfare of the spirit soul within the body. Some take shelter of materialistic science to improve bodily comforts, and some take to the worship of demigods to be promoted to the heavenly planets. Their goal in life is to make the material body comfortable, but they forget the interest of the spirit soul. Such persons are described in the Vedic literature as suicidal, because attachment for the material body and its comforts forces the living entity to wander through the process of birth and death perpetually, and suffer the material pangs as a matter of course. The human form of life is a chance for one to understand his or her position. Therefore, the most intelligent person takes to devotional service just to engage the mind, senses, and body in the service of the Lord without deviation. The personified Vedas continued. Dear Lord, there are many mystic yogis who are very learned and deliberate in achieving the highest perfection of life. They engage themselves in the yogic process of controlling the life air within the body, concentrating the mind upon the form of Vishnu, and controlling the senses very rigidly. They practice the yoga system. But even after much laborious austerity, penance, and regulation, they achieve the same destination as persons inimical toward you. In other words, both the yogis and the great wise philosophical speculators ultimately attain the impersonal Brahman effulgence, which is automatically attained by demons who are regular enemies of the Lord. Demons like Kamsa, Shishupala, and Dantavakra attain the Brahman effulgence because they constantly meditate upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead out of enmity. The real point is to concentrate the mind on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Women, such as the gopis, were attached to Krishna, being captivated by his beauty, and their mental concentration on Krishna was provoked by lust. They wanted to be embraced by the arms of Krishna, which resembled the beautiful round shape of a snake. Similarly, we Vedic hymns simply concentrate our minds on the lotus feet of your lordship. Women like the gopis concentrate upon you under the dictation of lust, and we concentrate upon your lotus feet in order to go back home, back to Godhead. Your enemies also concentrate upon you, thinking always of how to kill you. And the yogis undertake great penances and austerities just to attain your impersonal effulgence. All these different persons, although concentrating their minds in different ways, achieve a spiritual perfection according to their different perspectives, because you, O Lord, are equal to all your devotees. Sridhar Swami has composed a nice verse in this regard. My dear Lord, to be engaged always in thinking of your lotus feet is very difficult. It is possible for great devotees who have already achieved love for you and who are engaged in transcendental loving service. My dear Lord, I wish that my mind may also be fixed somehow or other on your lotus feet, at least for some time. The attainment of spiritual perfection by different spiritualists is explained in Bhagavad Gita, wherein the Lord says that He grants the perfection the devotee desires in proportion to the devotee's surrender unto him. The impersonalist yogis and enemies of the Lord enter into the Lord's transcendental effulgence. But the personalists who follow in the footsteps of the inhabitants of Vrindavan, or who strictly follow the path of devotional service, are elevated to the personal abode of Krishna, Goloka Vrindavan, or to the Vaikuntha planets. Both the impersonalist and the personalist enter the spiritual realm, the spiritual sky, but the impersonalists are given their place in the impersonal Brahman effulgence, whereas the personalists are given a position in the Vaikuntha planet or in the Vrindavan planet according to their desire to serve the Lord in different mellows. The personified Vedas stated that persons born after the creation of this material world cannot understand the existence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead by manipulating their material knowledge. Just as a person born in a particular family cannot understand the position of one's great-grandfather who lived before the birth of the recent generation, we are unable to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayana, or Krishna, who exists eternally in the spiritual world. In the 8th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, it is clearly said that the Supreme Person, who lives eternally in the spiritual kingdom of God, Sanatana Dhamma, can be approached only by devotional service. As for the material creation, Brahma is the first created person. Before Brahma, there was no living creature within this material world. It was void and dark until Brahma was born on the lotus flower that sprouted from the abdomen of Garbhodakashayi Vishnu. Garbhodakashayi Vishnu is an expansion of Karnodakashayi Vishnu. Karnodakashayi Vishnu is an expansion of Sankarshan, and Sankarshan is an expansion of Balaram, who is an immediate expansion of Lord Krishna. After the creation of Brahma, the two kinds of demigods were born. Demigods like the four brothers, Sanaka, Sanatan, Sanandana, and Sanat Kumar, who are representatives of renunciation of the world, and demigods like Marichi and their descendants, who are meant to enjoy this material world. From these two kinds of demigods were gradually manifested all other living entities, including human beings. Thus, all living creatures within this material world, including Brahma, all the demigods and all the Rakshasas, are to be considered modern. This means they were all born recently. Therefore, just as a person born recently in a family cannot understand the situation of one's distant forefather, no one within this material world can understand the position of the Supreme Lord in the spiritual world. Because the material world has only recently been created, although they have a long duration of existence, all the manifestations of the material world, namely the time element, the living entities, the Vedas, and the gross and subtle material elements are created at some point. Thus, any process manufactured within this created situation as a means for understanding the original source of creation is to be considered modern. Therefore, by the process of self-realization or God-realization through fruitive activities, philosophical speculation, or mystic yoga, one cannot actually approach the supreme source of everything. When the creation is completely terminated, when there is no existence of the Vedas, no existence of material time, and no existence of gross and subtle material elements, and when all the living entities are in the non-manifested stage, resting within Narayan, then all these manufactured processes become null and void and cannot act. Devotional service, however, is eternally going on in the eternal spiritual world. Therefore, the only factual process of self-realization or God-realization is devotional service. And one who takes to this process takes to the real process of God-realization. In this regard, Srila Sridhara Swami has composed a verse which conveys the idea that the supreme source of everything, the supreme personality of Godhead, is so great and unlimited that it is not possible for the living entity to understand him by any material acquisition. One should therefore pray to the Lord to be engaged in his devotional service eternally, so that by the grace of the Lord, one can understand the supreme source of creation. The supreme source of creation, the supreme Lord, reveals himself only to the devotees. In the fourth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says to Arjuna, "My dear Arjuna, because you are my devotee, and because you are my intimate friend, I shall reveal to you the process of understanding me." In other words, the supreme source of creation, the supreme personality of Godhead, cannot be understood by our own endeavor. We have to please him with devotional service, and then he will reveal himself to us. Then we can understand him to some extent.